Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI.
You are tuning in to the live radio blog talk broadcast of The Word is Right in conjunction with Past Generation Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and the pastor is District Superintendent Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. Top of the afternoon, morning, afternoon to you. You are going into the 1:30 lunch hour as well for today. It's gloomy here in Chicago. Woo! I tell you, we got funny looking weather here, but we're good. Listen. I want to. And I normally, because I don't get in a lot of Hollywood stuff, but I want to send up the prayers for Tommy Ford. If you remember, many of you all remember him from the hit sitcom series Martin. According to TMZ, he's in the hospital, and he's not doing too well. Let's keep the prayers flowing for his wife, because, you know, a lot of times with somebody in the hospital, the first thing everybody thinks you're dead. I don't understand. Stand it. People, when you get news about somebody in the hospital, would you please go to the hospital and see for yourself? Because that wife is going through. She's really going through. So pray for her and pray for his miraculous healing. Miraculous healing. And that way God will be in control. Okay. Let's talk about a topic. You know, I'm tired. I'm tired, y'all. There's so many things going on in the church now. You know, yesterday we had a topic about what's going on in the church, what's going around us, and things of that nature. And when you do see these things in the ministry, it bothers you. And as I've always stated, that I receive a lot of emails. I could pop up my blog talk anytime. I don't have a set schedule, you know. So when I get a lot of emails or discussions come up, you know, from other people, because I have a lot of people that I talk to, but there are a lot of people that I am definitely close with, and some I'm not close with. So, but a lot of times, a lot of things that I talk about is not centered around one person. It's centered around sin. And that's what I like to attack is sin. And I don't give sin any type of, oh, we love sin. I'm going to pack sin up, and I'm going to bathe it, and I'm going to burp it, and I'm going to change the diaper, and I'm going to breastfeed it. No, sin is sin. And when the thing about it is that when you're in sin, you need to cry loud. That's the problem we're dealing with right now. There's a lot of things going on with musicians. You know, my husband and I, we've had Redeemed Fellowship for the last 6 years. And we leased a church for a while. But we did not have a musician because my husband, very well known, made it well known to the parishioners that we didn't just want any old musicians flandagging around Redeemed Fellowship, because we have a ministry that's built on restoration and forgiveness and to help you understand where you might have made a mistake that you did not knowingly did not know that you sat on. And a lot of times people can get the wrong idea, and that's, once again, Satan. You know, Satan is the main cause of a lot of problems. But this is why you have to separate yourself from those things that Satan portrays. In the church today, you know, it's hot now for musicians to play. And what I don't like is that there are musicians that come and go, they come and go, they come and go, they come and go. But they don't place their membership at your church that you're at. And I'm talking to the pastors. I'm not talking to the mother's board. I'm not talking to the elders' council. I'm not talking to the deacon's board. I'm not talking to the parishioners. I'm talking to the pastor or pastors. Because I've had a lot of people tell me consistently about musicians coming in and coming out. You know, yes, we are, you know, we have a son that is learning how to play every last instrument we got. We got a Hammond B12, drums, saxophone, guitar, keyboards, you name it, he's learning. So a lot of our investment is going into him. But we also would like to have a musician that's experienced that will take on the identity of the ministry, because we're a real church. We're not trying, we don't come from a subsidiary of hurt churches and come and start one on pain and hurt. Our ministry, that God that gave my husband, was to redeem those who are lost, who have been hurt, and who's been abused. So what makes sense is that when you have these ministers, you know, pastors that start ministry, that they don't just want any old body. And then, you know, you want somebody that's going to be, that want to be saved, that is saved. Number one, they should be saved. They shouldn't be trying to get saved later on unless they are a good musician and they, you know, that want to be saved. Then, okay, we will work with you. We're going to take you all the way back to old school, all the way back, so you can get the right understanding of your relationship with God. And that's what happens now, pastors. You don't allow these men to have a relationship, and they don't come into the ministry right. So now, a lot of things is going on in a lot of churches. And, you know, we're not a part of that, what that's going on. Make that clear, because I don't want nobody gossiping and lying, saying, oh, by the way, Pastor Sanders, he got problems with a musician. No, we don't, because we don't have one. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so get that out your brain. Now, number two, we do know of churches in general that lease out musicians that are not members of your congregation. They will sit up in your church, and you're paying them $1,000 a Sunday, or $400 a Sunday, or five, or six, or seven, or eight, or nine, or whatever, how much $1,000 you're paying. And what you're doing is that, pastors, you don't even know these people. Now, let me break this down to you. Pastors, when you begin to open up a church, or if you already have a church, or you come into a church already established, you need to get to know the lifestyle of these musicians. Find out where their spiritual life is at. Find out where they are in God. Do they have a stable home? Do they have a stable lifestyle? If they're not married and they got children, are they caught up on their child support? So my thing is that when you hire these musicians, you hire these musicians based on, oh, I've been knowing your family for 99 years, but that don't mean you know them. That don't mean you with them every day. I know a lot of people in the church, and particularly Church of God Christ, but that don't mean I'm at home with them every day. I don't know them. I just know of them being in the church. Pastors, get that in your head. Know that when you are trying to hide these guys, know that you know of them of being in the church circle, not you know them personally, where you know them so well that you know their mom, their daddy, their social security number, all the addresses and the history of their family. No, you need to know who labors among you, because the Bible says, know them that labor among you. If you don't know these guys and they got problems and they're lying, let me help you out, Pastor. Let me help you out. Let me help you out, because you all are so ignorant for what is factual. And it's not, when I say ignorant, it is not, because see, men are so sensitive, good grief. They're so sensitive, you got to break stuff down. Let me explain something to you. When you get these musicians, you need to ask them, give them an application, fill it out. Know the last churches. We had a musician to come by our church when we first started. We got into our building before the dedication. And a man came in there with a resume, started back from 1969. Okay, I'm looking at all the churches he played for. I think I still got that file. Let me see. Hold on. I think I still got the file. Yes, I'm not going to call his name. I'm just giving you an outline of what these people do. Now, on this resume, and I sent an email to the gentleman letting them know, because, you know, I'm professional. I keep things business, but I keep it godly. And the man had an application, very impressive, you know, very first thing that I ever heard, because I'm like, I ain't never heard no musician give no application. I thought I had it in here. I might have put it up in another file. But anyway, so the man had been playing for different churches since 1969. So that meant he was a teenager when he was playing. He played at quite a few churches. One of which I do know, others were Baptist church, and he even put, he played for funeral homes as well, you know, because sometimes funeral homes, they hire pastors to go and play, if they're a musician, or they go and pay them $100 to preach. That's a lot of preaching they got to do. So, the man came, and when he came, he basically wanted, you know, and I know he lives in another city or whatever. Okay, I must have did something with the file. But he wanted to, you know, he looking for a job. Most of these cats make $500 a Sunday all the way up. But they don't, their lifestyle is messed up. They're going out to the clubs. They're going out to strip joints. They're drinking and smoking and hooting and tooting and shooting and pooting. You know, you don't know these people. Now, just because they're in the inner circle don't mean you still know them. And that's the problem. These musicians will sit up in your church, particularly if you're in the same denomination, okay? And they will take film, record films of the pastor. Then let a scandal come out on the pastor. Let a nasty scandal come out on the pastor. That musician or musicians, with an F, will turn around and blog it out and try to catch up to the scandal to find out what's going on. And so when they find out what's going on, they think they know what's going on, and they want to share what happened. And many of them have blog talks. A lot of them have Facebook television, or Facebook, blogs, and a lot of them have other blogs from other blog companies. Okay, shoe, whether it's Shoe Talk or Talk Shoe or other internet companies. So the thing about it is a lot of them go on there and they feel, oh, I've arrived, I know everything, and I know about everybody. No, you don't, because you ain't been in my house, fool. And okay, so what you think you got on somebody or bodies, it ain't accurate. That's called liable. You putting yourself in the way of a lawsuit. Now, pastors, I understand you want somebody to pray for you and to edge you up in music while you're preaching, because that's a part of what's been going on for years. But Dad Mason didn't need a lot of that stuff. Dad Mason spoke in tongues without music. Dad Mason shouted without music. So the thing about it is that if you're desperate enough to get these guys in there to be your musicians, whether they're playing the percussion, whether they're playing the organ, the piano, the guitar, the trumpet, or the trombone, or the saxophone, or the keyboard, or the flute, or the harp, or whatever. If you got a skillful tambourine player that outbeats the one in the church, you got to pay them. You should know who they are and find out from the former leader, why are they no longer at your church, at that church? You need to do a reference check. It's called character reference. Why do you think jobs say at the end of the application, references? They want name, address, city, state, zip code, phone number, and how many years. You don't do that. You are barking up the tree of having somebody sit in your congregation telling all your business. All of your business. Because you're desperate. You don't have to be desperate to get a musician in the church to go and ask back on what you're doing and becoming familiar with folks and then have the nerve to want to sit up and criticize your choir members behind your back because you're not there. You need to be at the church with that musician. That musician that you're paying every Sunday should be in your Bible class, should be in your Friday night service and or Sunday night service. So he would know you're not playing and keep it business. But when a musician or musicians that you hire come into your church, all you're doing is asking for a catastrophe. You don't know these folks. They come in when they want to. They come in looking like they just got out of bed, throwing on a T-shirt, a wrinkled T-shirt, and some jeans they wore all week. They laid on the chair somewhere and come in there and then spray cologne on and put a rag on their face and just get mouthwashed and rinse their mouth out. They go brush their teeth and come sit up in your pulpit and want to get over a microphone. Get somewhere and sit down. That's real talk. Because these men that come in, some of them have an agenda. Then they act like, oh, you need me. You just, because see, I'm who I am because my family work in this church or whatever denomination they're part of. They have that arrogancy that can easily be sliced with a knife. I promise you it can be. I promise you. So now, preachers, when you hire these men, you know what you get. Then when the sheaves fat out and they tell you, Pastor, some ain't right with that, why do you want to go off on the sheaves? They're the ones putting tithes and offerings into the church. And you wouldn't believe your own sheaves, but you'll believe that idiot. That's what they do. They slick. A lot of them come with words. They come with games. They sit up waiting to get paid. I want to act like they wise before people to get a lot of folks that like them. It's called buying. I'm going to say, because see, all the churches have a certain character. All the churches have a certain character. And when they have a certain character, literally they know how to fall in to old school. They play. It's a player's card. Oh, this is an old school church. I'm going to speak their language. So that way I'm good, you know, and I can get information out of people about what I want. And you know what the musicians do? They go right home, and when they be seeing their family, they go and talk about your business over dinner table and laugh at your end because they know your business. I'm going to say this, and I've said it, and I'm going to say it, and I will keep saying it, and I'm going to stick to what I know is true. But I know, as we told my father-in-law, you better be careful who you got coming on your organ. You better be careful who you got playing on your drums. If it ain't the ones at that church, you better be careful. Because when you are up there doing stuff and whatnot, those same musicians are going back telling folks about your business and dogging you out. Yeah. Uh-huh. You'd be surprised who found out things. Why? Because those musicians talk too much. Now, let me give you a little guideline to kind of help you out, pastors, because you all, you think on your skin surface. You know why? Because you're emotional about what you're doing. It's like last night, the Cubs won. The Cubs won. They beat San Francisco 6-5. So, hey, the Cubs won. They was excited. They were shaking beers up and squirting it all around. That's what some men do because you don't pay attention spiritually. Now, when you have a gifted, skilled musician that loves the Lord, they would know how to be in tune with what that church is about. If you're in a holiness church, whether it's Church of God of Christ, apostolic, whatever Pentecostal church it is, most churches are, the Pentecostal churches build their foundation on holiness. So they won't always sing New Direction, or they will not always sing Joshua Troop songs. They, most of them will not always sing, you know, Mark Hubbard, a whole lot of, you know, the, hey, oh, they won't sing all that song or Kirk Franklin songs. Majority of the Pentecostal churches sing old hymnals, you know, Thou Carest, Lord, Thou Carest, Lord. You know, they'll sing, you know, glory to his name, his precious name, glory to his name. You know, they sing songs like that, you know, or Have You Tried Jesus? He's all right. That's, I mean, those are songs the majority of the Pentecostal churches sing. Now, you have some other churches that just sing hymnals from the book. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, they got songs from that. You got the Lutheran, the Methodist, and CME, and the AME. They sing hymnals from the book. You know, Southern songs. They don't do a lot of the songs we sing. You know, and you know, everybody wants to sing, I'm headed. No, no, they don't sing that. So now, you might have some African churches that sing hymnals, but it's a mixture. Now, the today's church, basically, the newer churches, they singing charismatic songs. They're singing Martha Menezes. They're singing Israel and New Breed songs, you know, and everybody, worship, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're singing all that. So now, you got different, but see, you got to have a musician that's dedicated to the word. First of all, get your pen and paper. I'm going to help you understand all of this. So you all won't be saying, I'm rebuking you all and chest. I know I'm helping you out. Because it seems like you don't know nothing else but flesh and skin. Number one, know the musician. Find out if he's married, if he's single, married, divorced, or widowed. Okay? Find out. Because if the musician is married, then you should encourage the musician to bring his family or her family. Bring family. Bring your family to church. See, that's how you do that. And then find out, but the most important thing, find out if they're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Find out if they're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask them, do they have a personal walk with God? Do they read the scripture daily? Do they pray? Do they fast? That's what you need to find out. Then ask him, are you single? Are you married? Are you divorced and widow? Well, why do you ask all that? Because you need to know if this musician is a dedicated husband or a dedicated wife. Because if they're dedicated to their family, they will be able to be productive in the ministry. Now, if he's single, that means he has no ties to any woman. But also ask if he's single, if you have any children. Why do you want to know this? Because when you are paying this musician, you need to know if he is paying child support. Because you got a lot of musicians that don't want to pay child support. But guess what? Uncle Sam got a winner, y'all. Because when that girlfriend or ex-wife put up there on public aid applications or whatever that they're doing, they don't let the attorney know, oh, he works at a church as a musician. There's a form for you to fill out, okay? And that deduction will be sent to your church to take out for child support. Pastors, educate yourself. Now, if they're married, tell them your children and your family to be in presence with you. Also, if they're divorced, you need to make sure that they are taking care of their obligations from the divorce so there won't be no baby mama or ex-wife drama coming to the church. Because you got women, he ain't buying no diapers, he bought the baby some milk, and the baby needs this, the baby that, and they walk right up in the church and embarrass your end. You don't need a leader that's going to be doing that. Hello. Now, let's go back. If they're widowed, because that means that musician, whether it's he or she, is very sensitive, and they may not want to get married again. So you got to be, you know, you got to find out. Get to know who they are. Number two, ask them about punctuality. Punctuality. If your service time starts at 9 o'clock a.m., they should be at the church no later than 8 o'clock. You know why? A whole hour? Yes. Why? We don't need an hour. Yes, you do. Because the musician needs to check the organ. Check the organ. Check the piano. If there's one there, check the piano. Make sure the drums are still there. Uh-huh. Keyboards are in place. See, an organist, make sure that the sound, and then check the sound system. Check the sound system. That means that if the church's microphones are on, really in a sense, a lot of deacons do that, but musicians normally that I've seen, the late Deacon Bell at my home church, he would come there every Sunday morning. He was at the church at 8 o'clock on a dot. And on the microphone, he even showed me how to adjust the monitor. He showed me how to turn the monitor on, how to adjust the sound. Well, you know, my dad was a musician, so I learned that from him. So check the time to see if you'd be on time. Be there before the choir get there. You shouldn't be coming in. If the choir is scheduled to come in to march in at 10 o'clock, you don't even be coming in on 9:45 trying to check all that stuff. Get you some order about yourself. Know how that's done. Don't come in just at the exact 2 minutes. No. That means you're going to work and you just going to come in. Then that means that lets people know how you treat a real job. That's why you don't have a regular job. If you have a regular job and hustle on the organ is your money. You need to be respectful enough to check the sound system. Make sure the sound system is correct. Make sure the pulpit mics are on. Make sure if they're standing for the choir set, make sure all of that is on, because you don't want to hear that and everybody's up in church got a hole in their ears and all that. Nobody has time for that. Now, 3, relate with the minister of music. Now, the minister of music can be the organist, and it also can be a director or directress. Understand that. Find out what are your songs. You should have already had this during rehearsal. When your rehearsal time is during the week or on Saturday, you should already have the number of songs that may be sung on Sunday morning. You might have to, sometimes, depending on the flow of the service, you might get ready to have God is Great and Ready to be Praised, and you may have a Thompson's Rest for the Weary, and then you may have Trouble Don't Last Always, but then God can take that service in a different area. And that choir director or directors may say, no, we're not going to sing those. We're going to go here and sing something else, and they pull our own song out, because it all depends on the service. Check what music you're going to have. Relate with the directors and the directresses. Don't sit up there and do all these things. You know, y'all get there 1 minute before time, and then y'all scraping the scrap and sitting up there, you're mumbling on the organ, and people waiting on you to sing, and y'all still ain't came up with nothing. That's disrespectful. See, pastors, you need to know this, because in your church, before you march in with your crew of leaders or presidium, that's what goes on in your church. That's why you need to know who your musicians are. And then when you are relating with, make sure that the choir parts know, that all the singers know their parts. Get on the organ and hit the do the keys and remind them. Because sometimes you got to mix the choir members who forget. That's what you do. Pastors, it should be a rule about musicians not filming or recording you while you're preaching. They should ask you if it's all right to record you and put you up on YouTube. But you also need to know who the musicians are. There are more I want to talk about with this, but you need to know who your musicians are. If you don't know who they are, they're sitting right up in your church and you're paying them free money and they dogging your ministry and dogging you like a dog. You better wake up. You better wake up, because the musician busters are on the loose. Those who are going to bust up these musicians because they're not right. And they're a lie. And if they got other things outside, you need to know what they do for a living. You need to ask them, what do you work at? Because you don't know what they're going to do to your ministry. You need to know. So you need to know who these musicians are before you start handing over a wad of cash and whatnot. And you ought to have your board members in on this, because your board members need to be the one to select. Because if they don't have no rules set up, guess what? You screwed. We'll be back on this next week. Talk to you soon. God bless.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes. Y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord, I really...
Holiness.
Holiness.